Cassette number 7, side 1, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 1, division F, introductory questions, on page 282. By a close scrutiny of chart 5, it will be apparent wherein lies the problem of the Logos, and wherein lies the accuracy of the correspondence between him and his reflection, man. First, both are in objective manifestation on the physical plane. Second, both are at their point of deepest involution. Third, both are trammeled by matter and are developing consciousness, egoic consciousness, on the physical plane, man on the solar physical, and the Logos on the cosmic physical plane. Fourth, man has to bring down into conscious, full control the God within. Through that control, he must dominate circumstance, make his environment his instrument, and manipulate matter. On cosmic levels, the Logos does likewise. Both are far from achievement. Fifth, both work in, with, and by electrical force. Sixth, both come under the laws governing forms, and hence both are controlled in time and space by karma, which is the law of forms. It has to do with quality, as force has to do with vibration. Seventh, both work through forms made up of A, three main types of forms, a mental form, one aspect of manifestation, an astral form, a second aspect, and a physical form, the third aspect. Page 283. The mental vibration sets the key measure and seeks to utilize and coordinate the physical body at will. It deals with or links up the consciousness to the three forms in one direction. It repulses and causes separation in another. The astral vibration deals with the quality, with the attractive measure. It is the psychic element. The physical is the meeting ground of consciousness with the material form. This last is the result produced by the union of the key measure and the quality of tone. B. Seven centers of force, which hold the three forms in one coherent whole and cause their vitalization and their coordination. They put the triple unit into correlation with their main center of consciousness on the higher planes, whether that center is the causal body of man, of a planetary Logos, or of a solar Logos. C. Millions of infinitesimal cells, each embodying a lesser life, each in a condition of constant activity, and each repulsing other cells so as to preserve individuality or identity, yet each held to each by a central attractive force. Thus we have produced the objective form of a crystal, a vegetable, an animal, a man, a planet, a system. Finally, both work, therefore, in a dual manner, and each demonstrates both attraction and repulsion. Attraction of matter to spirit, and the building of a form for the use of spirit, is the result of electrical energy in the universe, which in each case brings the lesser lives or spheres into its range of influence. The magnetic force, the life of the Logos, gathers together his body of manifestation. The magnetic force of the heavenly man, the planetary Logos, gathers out of the solar ring-pass knot that which he needs for each incarnation. Page 284. The magnetic force of the ego gathers at each rebirth matter within the particular sphere or scheme within which the ego has place. So on down the scale, we find the lesser pursuing its round ever within the greater. Therefore, we have, during a period of attraction and repulsion, or a life cycle, that which we call time and space, and this holds equally true in the life cycle of a Logos or an ant or a crystal. There are cycles of activity and matter due to some energizing will, and then time and space are known. There are cycles of non-being when time and space are not, and the energizing will is withdrawn. But we must not forget that this is purely relative and only to be considered from the standpoint of the particular life or entity involved and the special stage of awareness reached. All must be interpreted in terms of consciousness. The first type of cycle, or the period involved in one entire revolution of a sphere around its own center of consciousness, is to the particular entity involved, be he God or man, a lesser cycle. The second type of cycle, or the period involved in the complete circling of an orbit, or the revolution of a sphere around the center of which it is an integral part, we can consider as a greater cycle. The third type of cycle has not so much to do with the transition of the form through a certain location in space, but as the cycle which includes both the greater and the lesser cycles. It has to do with the response of the entity, to whom our solar logos is but a center in his body, to the contacts made on that center and on its cosmic opposite. These two centers, for instance, our solar system and its cosmic opposite, in their interaction create a cycle period which has a relation to the one who is above our logos. This is, of course, beyond human conception, but must be included in our enumeration of cycles if exactitude is to be achieved. Page 285. Roman numeral 8. Why is knowledge both exoteric and esoteric? Footnote. In the secret doctrine, we are told that there are seven branches of knowledge mentioned in the Puranas. Correspondences can here be worked out in connection with A, the seven rays, the lords of sacrifice, love, and knowledge, B, the seven states of consciousness, C, the seven states of matter or planes, D, the seven types of forces, E, the seven initiations, and many other septenets. The gnosis, the hidden knowledge, is the seventh principle. The six schools of Indian philosophy are the six principles. These six schools are A, the school of logic, proof of right perception, B, the atomic school, system of particulars, elements, alchemy, and chemistry, C, the Sankhya school, system of numbers, the materialistic school, the theory of the seven states of matter or prakriti, D, the school of yoga, union, the rule of daily life, mysticism, E, the school of ceremonial religion, ritual, worship of the devas or gods. F, the Vedanta school, has to do with non-duality, deals with the relation of Atma in man to the logos. The gnosis, or hidden knowledge, is the same as Atma Vidya, or theosophy, and includes the other six. From the Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, Return to Text. We can now take up the question next in order, which was worded, why do we consider certain aspects of knowledge esoteric and other aspects as exoteric? The answer to this practically involves the realization that some knowledge deals with the subjective side of life and the other type of knowledge with the objective side, that one type of knowledge is concerned with energy and force, hence the danger of undue hasty revelation, and another with that which is energized. Therefore, it will be apparent that until the faculty of ascertaining subjective information is achieved, whole ranges of facts will remain outside the scope of the consciousness of the majority. As we have been told, the goal of evolution is the attainment of consciousness on all planes. Owing to the small evolutionary attainment of the race, only the physical plane is as yet in any way brought under conscious control. The knowledge which deals with that plane, the information which is concerned with densest objectivity, the sum total of facts connected with the five lower subplanes of the physical plane, are, from the occult standpoint, considered exoteric. Page 286. During the next two races, the other two subplanes will be mastered, and the entire mass of knowledge concerned with physical and etheric matter, with energy, form, and experience on the physical plane, will be easily available to man, and concern only his five physical senses. Information and knowledge of the life evolving through the forms will, for a considerably longer time, be considered esoteric, as also will the apprehension and comprehension of the matter aspect and the laws governing energy on the astral and the mental planes. This is stated in connection with average man, the rank and file of humanity. Objective or exoteric information is largely that obtained or ascertained by men in the hall of learning, by means of the five senses and by experiment. Experiment, in due course of time and after many cycles of incarnation, is transmuted into experience, and this produces eventually that which we call instinct, or the habitual reaction of some type of consciousness to a given set of circumstances or of environment. These two factors of the senses and of experimental contact can be seen working out in the animal and human kingdoms. The difference between the two exists in the ability of the man consciously to remember, apprehend, anticipate, and utilize the fruits of past experience, and thus influence the present and prepare for the future. He employs the physical brain for this purpose. An animal likewise has an instinctual memory, apprehension, and an embryo anticipation, but lacking mind, he is unable to adjust them to circumstances in the sense of prearrangement and lacks the capacity consciously to utilize and thus reap the benefit of past events and to learn from experience in the manner which a man does. The animal uses the solar plexus in the same way that a man uses the brain. It is the organ of instinct. Page 287. All that can be acquired by instinct and by the use of the concrete mind functioning through the physical brain can be considered as dealing with that which we call exoteric. It is thus evident how the range of fact will differ according to A, the age of the soul, B, experience developed and used, C, condition of the brain and the physical body, D, circumstances and environment. As time progresses and man reaches a fair state of evolution, mind is more rapidly developed and a new factor comes gradually into play. Little by little, the intuition or the transcendental mind begins to function and eventually supersedes the lower or concrete mind. It then utilizes the physical brain as a receiving plate, but at the same time develops certain centers in the head and thus transfers the zone of its activity from the physical brain to the higher head centers existing in etheric matter. For the mass of humanity, this will be effected during the opening up of the etheric subplanes during the next two races. This is paralleled in the animal kingdom by the gradual transference of the zone of activity from the solar plexus to the rudimentary brain and its gradual development by the aid of manas. As we consider these points, it will become apparent that the esoteric aspects of knowledge are really those zones of consciousness which are not yet conquered and brought within the radius of control of the indwelling entity. The point to be emphasized is that when this is realized, the true significance of the esoteric and the occult will be appreciated, and the endeavor of all knowers will be to draw within the zone of their knowledge other units who are ready for a similar expansion of consciousness. Page 288. In this thought lies the key to the work of the Brotherhood. They attract by their force into certain fields of realization and endeavor, and by that attraction and the response of those human atoms who are ready, the group soul on the upward arc, or a particular center of a heavenly man, is coordinated. In the same way, the animal is brought at a certain stage into the zone of influence of the lesser sons of mind, human beings who are the elder brothers of the animals, as the masters of the wisdom are the elder brothers where humanity is concerned. So the interlocking proceeds and the division of responsibility. Roman numeral 9. What is the relation between A, the 10 planetary schemes, B, the 7 sacred planets, C, the 7 chains in a scheme, D, the 7 globes in a chain, E, the 7 rounds on a globe, F, the 7 root races and the 7 sub-races? We have in this question a vast quantity of matter to deal with, and it will be impossible for us to do more than to get a broad and general idea. The subject is so vast, and the comprehensiveness of the interrelated points is so great, that we shall only attain lucidity if we confine our attention to certain broad general conceptions, leaving the subsidiary points for more detailed elucidation at some later period. 1. The interrelated parts. Primarily, I would suggest that we consider this subject only as it concerns a heavenly man, that we omit from our immediate calculations the consideration of the cellular composition of his body, those separated units of consciousness which we call deva and human beings, and that we view the matter from what is to the human being the group concept and not the individual. Page 289. The entire middle section of this treatise on the fires has to do with the development of the consciousness of a heavenly man and the application by him of the knowledge gained through the aid of manas, or mind, in a previous solar system, to the acquisition of wisdom through objectivity, and to the transmutation of the earlier acquired faculty into applied love. This is his work in the same sense that the work of the cells within his body is to develop the mind principle. When through experience in the three worlds the human units have accomplished this, they can then gain, through the final initiations, something of the group concept, or the conscious realization of place, and of energized activity within the ring pars not of their particular planetary logos. Therefore, we might consider the following points. First, the work of the units who go to the makeup of a particular planetary logos. This is of a threefold nature. A. To attain the consciousness of the realized control of their own individual ring pars not, or of their own sphere of activity. This covers the period of evolution up to the first initiation, or their entrance upon the path, and thus into the spiritual kingdom. It concerns the awakening of consciousness on the three lower planes. B. To attain the consciousness of the particular center in the body of one of the planetary logoi, which center embodies their group activity. This carries them to the fifth initiation and covers the period wherein consciousness is awakened on the five planes of evolution. C. To attain to the consciousness of the center in the body of the logos, of which any particular planetary logos is the sum total. Page 290. This carries them to the seventh initiation and covers the period of the awakening of consciousness on the seven planes of the solar system. These expansions are attained by the aid of mind, transmuted in due course of time into love wisdom, and entail the conscious control of the entire seven planes of the solar system, or of the lowest cosmic plane. Second, the work of the heavenly men, who in their totality are the seven centers in the body of the logos. This work is again threefold. A. To attain to full self-consciousness, or to individual consciousness on the five planes, to vibrate with conscious activity within their own ring pars not, a planetary scheme. This covers a period in the scheme of involution and of that period during the evolutionary stage, which is comprised within the first three rounds up to the entrance upon the fourth round. B. To attain to the consciousness of the solar logos, within whose body they form the centers. It entails the attainment by heavenly man of a group consciousness of a sevenfold nature, or the achievement of accurate vibratory relationship with the other heavenly men who form the other centers. It carries with it the capacity to have full conscious control on the seven planes of the solar system, and covers that period of development which is undergone in a planetary chain during the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds. It should be borne in mind that a paralleling recognition should here be given to the fact that the solar logos holds an analogous position in the body of a cosmic entity to that held by a heavenly man in the body of a solar logos. C. To attain to the consciousness of a greater center on cosmic levels. This covers the period of the seventh round and gives to a heavenly man, when these rounds are viewed in the light of the eternal now and not from the standpoint of time and space, the consciousness of the cosmic astral, or the second lowest plane of the cosmic planes. Page 291. A great deal of the problem to be seen slowly working out at this time to a solution is due to the fact that the control of the heavenly man, whose body our scheme may be, is as yet but partial, and his cosmic experience is as yet but imperfect. This necessarily affects the cells in his body in the same way that lack of astral control in the case of a human being affects his vehicle. It might here be pointed out that the evolution of the heavenly men is unequal, and that our planetary logos has not the control, for instance, that the heavenly man of the Venus chain has achieved. In each round, one subplane of the cosmic astral plane is brought under control, and the consciousness of the heavenly man expands to include one subplane more. The planetary lord of Venus has dominated and controlled the five subplanes and is working on the sixth. Our planetary logos is engaged in a similar work on the fourth and fifth. The work, as in all cycles, overlaps, and it might be explained thus. He is perfecting the control of the fourth subplane on the cosmic astral plane and has nearly completed it. He is beginning to work at the control of the fifth subplane, a control which will be perfected in the fifth round. He is sensing and responding to the vibration of the sixth subplane, but is not as yet fully conscious on that subplane. We have a corresponding reflection to this in the fourth and fifth root races on this planet, in which the astral consciousness of the Atlantean cycle is being perfected. The fifth principle is being developed, and the sixth is being gradually sensed. This deserves thoughtful consideration. Third, the work of a solar logos is again of a corresponding nature. page 292. A. He has to attain to the full consciousness of his entire ring pass knot, or of the seven planes of the solar system. This covers a period wherein five of the heavenly men, or five of his centers, and therefore five schemes, reach a stage of accurate response to contact and stimulation. B. He has to attain to the consciousness of the cosmic logos within whose body he is a center. He must find, by experience, his place within the cosmic group of which he is a part, in much the same way as the planetary logos pursues a similar course. This is achieved when all the heavenly men, or each of the seven centers, are awakened and functioning consciously and freely, with their systemic interrelation adjusted and controlled by the law of action and reaction. It brings within his control not only the seven subplanes of the cosmic physical plane, our seven major planes, but necessarily also the cosmic astral plane. C. To attain to the consciousness of the center in the body of the one about whom naught may be said. This center is formed by the sphere of influence of a cosmic logos. In the body of a cosmic logos, a solar logos is a center. We must bear in mind that this enumeration is given from the standpoint of the present and from the angle of vision, relatively limited, of the heavenly man of our particular scheme, and that it is therefore circumscribed by his peculiar conditions, which govern the intelligence of the cells in his body. It is given from the point of view of differentiation and not of synthesis. A synthetic absorption proceeds eventually in connection with all these entities, and each undergoes a process paralleling on his own level that undergone by the microcosm. In the case of the microcosm, the causal body, or the body of the ego, acts as the synthesizer of the energy of the quaternary or lower self, and the spiritual or monadic sheath as the synthesizer of the seven principles, making thus the three, the seven, and the ten. Page 293 is a tabulation entitled Evolution in the Universe. Entity, the unknown, vehicle, seven constellations, center, cosmic logos, space, five cosmic planes. Entity, a cosmic logos, vehicle, seven solar systems, center, solar logos, space, four cosmic planes. Entity, a solar logos, vehicle, seven planetary schemes, center, heavenly man, space, three cosmic planes, time, period of three solar systems. Entity, a heavenly man, vehicle, seven planetary chains, center, Chohans and groups, space, two cosmic planes, time, period of one solar system. Entity, a man, vehicle, seven etheric centers, center, a principle, space, one cosmic plane, time, period of one planetary scheme. Page 294. In closing, I would point out that the mind must carefully be kept from reducing all these ideas into a rankly materialistic concept. It must be rigidly borne in mind that we are dealing with the subjective life and not with the objective form, and that we are considering, for instance, the synthesis of the principles or the qualitating energies and not the synthesis of form. Through each etheric center, man is bringing to perfect vibration some one principle or quality through which the subjective life may express itself. Through each chain in a scheme, a heavenly man is endeavoring to do the same. Through each scheme in a system, a solar logos is working at the same thing. A goal is synthetic quality and not primarily the perfection of the form. The response of the energized form to the qualitative life is naturally, under the law, equal to the demand, but this is of secondary importance and is not the object in view. We have seen that the work to be accomplished in all the above cases is necessarily threefold. First, the development of individual consciousness. Second, the development of group consciousness. Third, the development of God consciousness, of that consciousness in each case which represents the highest spiritual source, and which is recognized as the same, in essence, as the God within the individual, whether man or solar logos. This concept must be meditated upon by all thinkers and its synthesis emphasized, the relation of the cell to the group, of the group to the aggregate of groups, and of them all to the indwelling entity who holds them in synthetic correlation by means of the law of attraction and repulsion, is of vital moment. Two main ideas must always be borne in mind. That the terms cell, group, or congeries of groups relate entirely to the form of vehicle and thus to the matter aspect. That the idea of an entity who synthesizes the groups and is the animating life of the cell has to do with the spirit aspect. Page 295. These two concepts lead necessarily to a third, that of the development of consciousness, which is the gradual expansion of the realization of the indweller in the form, the apprehension by the self of the relation of the form to itself, and of its slow utilization and control. This persists until that realization includes the cell, the group, and the totality of groups. These ideas can be applied to the three grades of consciousness referred to. As follows, man, the lowest type of coherent consciousness, using the word consciousness in its true connotation as the one who knows, is but a cell, a minute atom within a group. A heavenly man represents a coherent conscious group. A solar logos on his own plane holds an analogous place to that of a heavenly man in a solar system, and from a still higher standpoint to that of a man within the solar system. When the place of the solar planes within the cosmic scheme is duly apprehended, it will be recognized that on cosmic levels of a high order, the solar logos is an intelligence as relatively low in the order of cosmic consciousness as man is in relation to solar consciousness. He is but a cell in the body of the one about whom naught may be said. His work parallels on cosmic levels the work of man on the solar planes. He has to undergo, on the three lower cosmic planes, a process of developing an apprehension of his environment of the same nature as man in the three worlds. This fact should be remembered by all students of this central division of our subject. Above all, the analogy between the cosmic physical planes and the solar physical planes must be pondered upon. Page 296. It holds hid the fourfold mystery. 1. The mystery of the Akasha. 2. The secret of the fifth round. 3. The esoteric significance of Saturn, the third planet. 4. The occult nature of cosmic kundalini, or the electrical force of the system. One hint on this fourth point may be given for wise consideration. When the electrical interplay between the planets is better ascertained, and by this I mean their negative or positive interplay, then it will be revealed which are related or connected and which are nearing the point of balance. I would here point out very briefly certain facts, not pausing to elaborate or to elucidate, but simply making various statements which, as the knowledge of man progresses, will assume their rightful place in the ordered scheme. They will then be seen as enlightening and revealing the necessary sequence of development. 2. The work of the atomic units. A. The seven heavenly men, considered in relation to the entity of whom the solar logos is a reflection, are as the seven centers in the physical body of a human being. This will be realized as the correspondence between the cosmic physical plane and the systemic physical plane is studied. B. Three of these centers, therefore, concern the lower centers of the cosmic being, have their analogies on the dense liquid and gaseous planes, are at present the object of the attention of cosmic kundalini. Page 297. C. One of these centers corresponds to the solar plexus and is the synthesizer of the lower three, thus making a quaternary. D. The center which is analogous to that at the base of the spine, or the reservoir of kundalini, has a permanence which is not seen in the other two lower centers. The heavenly man who embodies this principle and is the source of generative heat to his brothers must be sought for by the aid of the intuition. Concrete mind will not here avail. E. The three higher centers, or the heavenly men who correspond to the head, the heart, and the throat of the solar logos, have their etheric analogies on the three higher etheric levels of the cosmic physical plane, just as the heavenly man who embodies the logoic solar plexus finds his manifesting source on the fourth etheric. F. This heavenly man, with his etheric vortex or wheel of force on the fourth cosmic ether, is in this fourth round a vital factor in planetary evolution. G. When the heavenly man, who is at present demonstrating through the Earth scheme, has succeeded in vitalizing his middle center, or in directing the force of planetary kundalini away from the lower centers to the solar plexus center, a new cycle will be reached, and much of the present distress will be ended. His work is as yet in an embryonic condition, and 2.5 more cycles must transpire before he has accomplished the necessary work. When that is done, the result in connection with the human units in incarnation will be threefold. Sex stimulation, as now understood, will be showing a tendency to manifest in creation, not so much on the physical plane as on the astral and mental, demonstrating in the creations of art and beauty and the objective work of the scientists. Crime, as now seen, based largely on the sex emotion, will be a thing of the past, and physical plane license, orgy, and horror will be reduced 75%. The interplay between the three dense physical planes will be perfected, and man will pass at will from one to another. Page 298. I would here point out the inadvisability of the method whereby the names of the globes in a chain, just as the names of a chain in a scheme, follow the planetary nomenclature. This has led to confusion. A clue tending towards the correct understanding lies hid in the words, Venus is the Earth's primary. It is not permissible to say much about this mystery, that Venus is the Earth's alter ego, nor is it advisable, but certain ideas may be suggested which, if brooded on, may result in a wider grasp of the beauty of nature's synthesis and of the wonderful correlation of all that is in process of evolution. Perhaps some idea may be gained if we remember that in an occult sense, Venus is to the Earth what the higher self is to man. The coming of the Lords of Flame to the Earth was all under law and not just an accidental and fortunate happening. It was a planetary matter which finds its correspondence in the connection between the mental unit and the manasic permanent atom. Again, as the antiskarana is built by individual man between these two points, so, again, in a planetary sense, is a channel being built by collective man on this planet to its primary, Venus. In connection with these two planets, it must be remembered that Venus is a sacred planet, and the Earth is not. This means that certain of the planets are to the Logos what the permanent atoms are to man. They embody principles. Certain planets afford only temporary homes to these principles. Others persist throughout the Maha Manvantara. Of these, Venus is one. Page 299. Three of the sacred planets, it should be remembered, are the home of the three major rays of the embodied forms of the three logoic aspects or principles. Other planets are embodiments of the four minor rays. We might consider, from the standpoint of the present, that Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn might be considered as the vehicles of the three super principles at this time. Mercury, the Earth, and Mars are closely allied to these three, but a hidden mystery lies here. The evolution of the inner round has a close connection with this problem. Perhaps some light may be thrown upon the obscurity of the matter by the realization that just as the Logos has, in the non-sacred planets, the correspondence to the permanent atoms in the human being, so the middle evolution between these two, God and man, is the heavenly man, whose body is made up of human and Deva monads, and who has likewise his permanent atoms. Always the three higher principles can be distinguished in importance from the four lower. The key is hidden in the fact that between the number of a globe in a chain and its corresponding chain lies a method of communication. The same is true likewise of the correspondence between a chain of globes and a scheme of analogous number. The connection between Venus and the Earth lies hid in number, and it took a moment of mysterious alignment between a globe, its corresponding chain, and the scheme of allied number to effect the momentous occurrence known as the coming of the Lords of Flame. It occurred in the third root race in the fourth round. Here we have an analogy between the quaternary and the triad, carrying the interpretation up to a heavenly man. The chain was the fourth chain and the globe the fourth. The fourth chain in the Venus scheme and the fourth globe in that chain were closely involved in the transaction. page 300. H. The progress of development of the heavenly man is by no means uniform. One point has not been emphasized hitherto, and that is that the problem before each of them is dissimilar, and therefore it is not possible for man correctly to gauge the work done by them and their relative point of attainment. It has been said that as Venus is in the fifth round, the Venusian lord is further progressed than his brothers. This is not altogether so. Just as in the development of humanity, three main lines may be seen with four lesser lines merging into one of the three main lines, so in connection with the heavenly men, there are three main lines of which the Venusian is not one. The Lord of Venus holds place in the logoic quaternary, as does the Lord of Earth. The main idea underlying the question we have been endeavoring to answer has to do with the relationship between the schemes, chains, rounds, and races, and it should be borne in mind that these manifestations bear the same relationship to a heavenly man as incarnations do to a human being. This gives the opportunity here to bring out, perhaps a little more clearly, the place of cycles in the evolution of all these entities from a man up to a cosmic logos via a heavenly man and a solar logos. Just as it is pointed out in the secret doctrine that there are greater and lesser cycles in the evolution of a solar system, so it can be predicated equally of a heavenly man, of a human being, and of an atom. This brings us, therefore, to another statement. I, the cycles in the evolutionary process of all these entities may be divided mainly into three groups, though necessarily these groups can be extended into septenates and into an infinity of multiples of seven. Page 301. In connection with a solar logos, the cycles might be called 1. 100 years of Brahma, 2. A year of Brahma, 3. A day of Brahma. These periods have been computed by the Hindu students and are the sum total of time as we understand it, or the duration of a solar system. In connection with a heavenly man, we have the corresponding cycles to those of the logos. 1. The period of a planetary scheme. 2. The period of a planetary chain. 3. The period of a planetary round. Within these three divisions, which are the differentiations of the three great cycles of incarnation of a planetary logos, are numerous lesser cycles or incarnations, but they all fall within one or other of the three main divisions. Such lesser cycles might be easily comprehended if it were pointed out that they mark such periods as A. The period of manifestation on a globe, B. The period of a root race, C. The period of a subrace, D. The period of a branch race. In order to apprehend, even cursorily, the identity of manifestation of a planetary logos in a root race, for instance, it must be remembered that the sum total of human and deva units upon a planet make the body vital of a planetary logos, whilst the sum total of lesser lives upon a planet, from the material bodies of men or devas down to the other kingdoms of nature, form his body corporeal, and are divisible into two types of such lives. A. Those on the evolutionary arc, such as in the animal kingdom. Page 302. B. Those on the involutionary arc, such as the totality of all elemental material forms within his sphere of influence. All the involutionary lives, as earlier pointed out, form the vehicles for the spirit of the planet, or the planetary entity, who is the sum total of the elemental essences in process of involution. He holds a position, in relation to a heavenly man, analogous to that held by the different elementals that go to the makeup of man's three bodies, physical, astral, and mental, and he is, like all manifesting beings, threefold in his nature, but involutionary. Therefore, man and devas, differentiating the devas from the lesser builders, form the soul of a heavenly man. Other lives form his body, and it is with body and soul that we are concerned in these two divisions of our thesis on fire. One group manifests the fire of matter, the other group the fire of mind. For the devas are the personification of the active universal mind, even though man is considered manasic in a different sense. Man bridges in essence. The devas bridge in matter. In connection with man, the cycles are equally threefold. 1. the monadic cycle, which corresponds in man to the 100 years of Brahma and to a planetary scheme. 2. The egoic cycle. 3. The personality cycle. In these thoughts on cycles, we have opened up a vast range of thought, especially if we link the idea of egoic and personality cycles to the vaster periods in connection with the planetary logos. The idea is capable of vast expansion and is governed by certain fundamental ideas that must be carefully considered and contemplated. Page 303. The cycles in a man's personality manifestation demonstrate in groups of fours and sevens and follow the usual evolutionary sequence as A, differentiation, the involutionary process, or the one becoming the many, the homogeneous becoming the heterogeneous. B, balance, or the process of karmic adjustment. C, synthesis or spiritualization, the many again becoming the one. D. Obscuration or liberation, the end of the evolutionary process or the freeing of spirit from the limitations of matter. By this, we must understand that all incarnations on the physical plane are not of equal importance, but some are of more moment than others. Some, from the point of view of the ego, are practically negligible. Others count. Some are, to the evolving human spirit, of importance analogous to the incarnation of a planetary logos in a globe or through a root race, whilst others are as relatively unimportant to him as the manifestation of a branch race is to a heavenly man. As yet, owing to the small point of development of the average man, the astral incarnations or cycles count for little, but they are by no means to be discounted and are oft relatively of more importance than the physical. In due course of time, the astral cycles will be better comprehended and their relation to the physical. When it is realized that the physical body is not a principle, but that the karma manasic principle, or desire mind principle, is one of the most vital to man, then the period or cycle in which a man functions on the fifth subplane of the astral, the fundamentally karma manasic plane, will assume its rightful place. It is so again with the mental cycles, and so with the causal. The causal cycles, or the egoic cycles, which include all the groups of lesser cycles in the three worlds, correspond to a complete round in the cycles of a heavenly man. Page 304. There are seven such cycles, but the number of lesser cycles included within the seven is one of the secrets of initiation. The egoic cycles proceed in groups of sevens and of threes, and not in groups of fours and sevens, as do the personality cycles, and the same ratio must be predicated of the central cycles of a heavenly man and of a solar logos. The monadic cycles proceed in groups of ones and of threes, as do the basic cycles of those great entities of which man is the microcosmic reflection. If the general concept here laid down is studied in relation to the schemes and other forms of manifestation to each other, and if the microcosm itself is studied as the clue to the whole, some idea will begin to permeate the mind as to the purpose underlying all these manifestations. It should be borne also in mind that just as the average man in each incarnation achieves three objects, 1. The development of consciousness or the awakening of the faculty of awareness. 2. The achievement of a certain proportion of permanent faculty or the definite increase of the content of the causal body. 3. The making of karma or the setting in motion by action of causes which necessitate certain unavoidable effects. So a heavenly man at one stage of his evolution does the same. As man progresses, and as he enters upon the probationary path and the subsequent path of initiation, he succeeds in bringing about some further noticeable developments. 1. As before, his consciousness expands, but he begins to work intelligently from above and does not work blindly on the lower planes. Page 305. 2. The building of the causal body is carried to full completion, and he begins next to shatter what he earlier wrought and to destroy the temple so carefully constructed, finding it, too, to be a limitation. 3. He ceases to make karma in the three worlds, but begins to work it off, or literally to wind up his affairs. End of side 1, cassette number 7, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 305. Continued on side 2.
Side 3. Star 2.
Cassette number 7, A Traitor's on Cosmic Fire, continuing Section 1, Division F, Introductory Questions, on page 305. So do the heavenly men, for they likewise have a cosmic path to tread, analogous to that trodden by man as he nears the goal of his endeavor. Again, we can, with exactitude, carry the concept further still, and predicate action of a similar nature by the solar logos. The consideration of this question is nearly concluded, and it must be apparent that the relation between the aforementioned manifestations is of a psychic nature, using the word psychic in its true sense as having reference to the psyche or soul or consciousness, and deals with the gradual expansion of soul knowledge in a heavenly man. A word of warning should here be sounded. Though all these cosmic beings find in man a reflection of their own nature, yet the analogy of resemblance must not be pushed to extremity. Man reflects, but he reflects not perfectly. Man is evolving, but he is not occupied with the same problems in exact detail as are the perfected Manasaputras. Man aims at becoming a divine Manasaputra, or perfected son of mind, showing forth all the powers inherent in mind, and thus becoming like unto his monadic source, a heavenly man. A heavenly man has developed manas and is occupied with the problem of becoming a son of wisdom, not inherently, but in full manifestation. A solar logos is both a divine Manasaputra and likewise a dragon of wisdom, and his problem concerns itself with the development of the principle of cosmic will, which will make him what has been called a lion of cosmic will. Page 306. Throughout all these graded manifestations, the law holds good, and the lesser is included in the greater. Hence the need for the student to preserve with care a due sense of proportion, a discrimination as to time and evolution, and a just appreciation of the place of each unit within its greater sphere. Having sounded this note of warning, we can now proceed with the concluding remarks anent this final question. It has been stated that a mystery lies hid in the 777 incarnations. This figure provides room for much speculation. It should be pointed out that it does not hold the number of a stated cycle of incarnations through which a man must pass, but holds the key to the three major cycles previously mentioned. Primarily, this number applies to the planetary logos of our scheme and not so much to other schemes. Each heavenly man has his number, and the number of our heavenly man lies hid in the above three figures, just as 666 and 888 hold the mystery hid of two other heavenly men. This number, 777, is also the number of transmutation, which is the fundamental work of all the heavenly men. The basic work of man is accumulation and acquisition, or the acquiring of that which must later be transmuted. The work of transmutation, or the true cycle of 777, commences on the probationary path and is definitely the activity of a heavenly man being realized and responded to by the cells in his body. Only when his body has reached a certain vibratory movement can he truly influence the individual cells. This work of transmuting cell activity was begun on this planet during the last root race, and the divine alchemy proceeds. The progress made is as yet but small, but each transmuted conscious cell increases the speed and the accuracy of the work. Time alone is needed for the completion of the work. Page 307. In connection with this matter of transmutation comes the legend of the Philosopher's Stone, which is literally the application of the rod of initiation in one sense. Page 308. Section 2. Division A, Manas or Mind and its Nature. Roman numeral 1, three manifestations of Manas. Roman numeral 2, some definitions of Manas. 1. Manas is the fifth principle. 2. Manas is electricity. 3. Manas is that which produces cohesion. 4. Manas is the key opening the door into the fifth kingdom. 5. Manas is the synthetic vibration of five rays. 6. Manas is the intelligent will or ordered purpose of an existence. We enter now upon a very important division of our subject and take up for consideration the fire of mind, cosmically, systemically, and humanly considered. We have dealt with the fire of matter and studied for a while its purpose, origin, and work. We considered somewhat the factor of consciousness and saw that the great work of a solar logos with all included manifesting lives was the development of a conscious control and a psychic awareness within certain set limits. Having laid down these preliminary foundation thoughts, we need now to block out, for the sake of clarity, the mass of material that is available on the subject of the manasic fire, which is the animating principle of consciousness itself. Let us first of all get one broad general outline and then proceed to fill in the details. Roman numeral 1. Three manifestations of manas. Footnote. Manas is the individuality or the spiritual ego on the side of the higher triad and the personality or the karmic ego on the side of the lower quaternary. Manas is the pivot of the human structure or the center on which the spiritual and material parts of man are made to turn. Lower manas is only a ray of the higher manas let into the fleshly tabernacle for illuminating its being and giving it thought, desire, and memory. It is because manas is the turning point in the cycle that HPB has considered it under the two aspects, higher and lower, the higher the attainer and experiencer of spiritual heights, and the lower, the soul of the lower three, the triangle that completes embodiment. Manas is therefore the battleground of forces contained in the microcosm. The stage of evolution which we have reached is the very starting point of the great struggle. From Some Thoughts on the Gita. Return to text. 1. The fire of mind, cosmically considered. 2. The fire of mind, viewed systemically. 3. The fire of mind in connection with a human being. Page 309. In other words, what we are endeavoring to do is to study mind in a solar logos, a planetary logos, and in the microcosm. Each of these three main divisions may be dealt with under four lesser heads, which may be expressed as follows. A. The origin of cosmic, systemic, and microcosmic mind. B. The place of mind in evolution in all three cases. C. The present stage of development of mind in each of the three groups. D. The future of mind or of manasic unfoldment. When we have taken up these points, we should have a clearer idea as to the purpose and place of the fire of the intelligence, and should be able accurately to comprehend its correlating synthetic work. Before, however, following up these ideas, it might prove of value to us if we sought to define this principle of manas and see what is already understood by it. Roman numeral 2, definitions of manas or mind. 1. Manas, as we already know, is the fifth principle. Here enter in certain factors and analogies that it would be of profit to us to mention at this juncture. This fifth principle embodies the basic vibration of the fifth plane, either cosmically or systemically considered. A certain sound of the logoic word, when it reaches the mental plane, causes a vibration in the matter of that plane, arrests its tendency to dissipate, causes it to take spheroidal form, and builds it literally into a body which is held in coherent shape by a mighty deva entity, the Raja Lord of the mental plane. Exactly the same procedure ensued on cosmic levels, when a still mightier sound was uttered by the one about whom naught may be said, and the utterance of this caused a vibration on the fifth cosmic plane. Certain great entities became active, including such relatively unimportant beings as our solar logos and his group. This fifth principle is the distinctive coloring of a particular group of solar logoi on the causal level of the cosmic mental, and is the animating factor of their existence, the reason of their manifesting through various solar systems, and the great will to be that brings them forth into objectivity. Manas has been defined as mind, or that faculty of logical deduction and reasoning, and of rational activity that distinguishes man from the animals. Yet it is something much more than that, for it underlies all manifestation, and the very shape of an amoeba and the discriminative faculty of the lowest atom or cell is actuated by mind of some kind or another. It is only as the place of that discriminating cell or atom within its greater sphere is apprehended and recognized that any clear conception will be gained of what that coherent, rational, inclusive mentality may be. 2. Manas is electricity. Footnote. Electricity. We know of no phenomenon in nature entirely unconnected with either magnetism or electricity, since where there are motion, heat, friction, light, there magnetism and its alter ego, according to our humble opinion, electricity, will always appear as either cause or effect, or rather both, if we but fathom the manifestation to its origin. All the phenomena of earth currents, terrestrial magnetism, and atmospheric electricity are due to the fact that the earth is an electrified conductor whose potential is ever-changing owing to its rotation and its annual orbital motion, the successive cooling and heating of the air, the formation of clouds and rain, storms and winds, etc. This you may perhaps find in some textbook, but then science would be unwilling to admit that all these changes are due to akashic magnetism, incessantly generating electric currents which tend to restore the disturbed equilibrium. The sun is neither a solid nor a liquid, nor yet a gaseous globe, but a gigantic ball of electromagnetic forces, the storehouse of universal life and motion, from which the latter pulsate in all directions, feeding the smallest atom as the greatest genius with the same material unto the end of the Maha-Yug. From Mahatma Letters to A.P. Sinnott, page 160-165. Return to text. The fire of mind is fundamentally electricity, shown in its higher workings, and not considered so much as force in matter. Page 311. Electricity in the solar system shows itself in seven major forms, which might be expressed as follows. Electricity on the first plane, the logoic or divine, demonstrates as the will to be, the primary aspect of that force which eventually results in objectivity. Cosmically considered, it is that initial impulse or vibration which emanates from the logoic causal body on the cosmic mental plane and makes contact with the first cosmic etheric or the solar plane of Adi. Electricity on the monadic plane demonstrates as the first manifestation of form, as that which causes forms to cohere. Matter, electrified by fire by friction, and the electric fire of spirit meet and blend, and form appears. Form is the result of the desire for existence, hence the dynamic fire of will is transmuted into the burning fire of desire. I would call attention to the choice of those two phrases, which might also be expressed under the terms dynamic electrical manifestation, burning electrical manifestation. Here, on the second plane, the sea of electrical fire, which distinguished the first plane, is transformed into the akasha, or burning etheric matter. It is the plane of the flaming sun, just as the first plane is that of the fire mist, or the nebulae. Page 312. This idea will be easier to comprehend if it is borne in mind that we are dealing with the cosmic physical plane. Certain things take place on the second plane which need realization, even if already theoretically conceded. Heat or flaming radiation is first seen. Form is taken and the spheroidal shape of all existence originates. The first interplay between the polar opposites is felt. Differentiation is first seen, not only in the recognized duality of all things, but in differentiation in motion. Two vibrations are recognized. Certain vibratory factors begin to work, such as attraction, repulsion, discriminative rejection, coherent assimilation, and the allied manifestation of revolving forms, orbital paths, and the beginning of that curious downward pull into matter that results in evolution itself. The primary seven manifestations of logoic existence find expression, and the three, with the four, commence their work. The seven wheels, or etheric centers in the body etheric of that great cosmic entity, of whom our solar logos is a reflection, begin to vibrate, and his life activity can be seen. We are at this juncture considering the manifestations of electricity on the different planes of the cosmic physical plane, or on our solar systemic planes. Hence, all that can be seen in manifestation is fundamentally physical electricity. We have seen that the primary manifestation is that which vitalized, tinctured, and pervaded the matter of space, thus embodying, in connection with logoic manifestation, that which is analogous to the vital heat, activity, and radiation of a human being, manifesting on the solar physical plane. Page 313. Certain electrical phenomena distinguish a human being only as they have not been expressed or considered in terms of electricity. The analogy has been lost sight of. These demonstrations might be considered as, first, that coherent vitality which holds the entire body revolving around the central unit of force. It must here be remembered that the entire manifestation of a solar system consists of the etheric body and the dense body of a logos. Second, that radiatory magnetism which distinguishes man and makes him active in two ways, in relation to the matter of which his vehicles are composed, in relation to the units which form his group. Third, that activity on the physical plane which results in due performance of the will and desire of the indwelling entity, and which in man is the correspondence of the Brahma aspect. These three electrical manifestations, vitality, magnetism, and phohatic impulse, are to be seen at work in a solar logos, a heavenly man, and a human being. They are the objective manifestations of the psychic nature, which, in a solar logos, for instance, we speak of in terms of quality and call will, wisdom, activity. Therefore, it should be noted here that the first three planes of the cosmic physical plane, the logoic, monadic, and atmic planes, are of prime importance and are the basic planes from whence emanate the secondary four. In other words, the first three cosmic ethers embody, in a literal sense, those three entities whom we know as Mahadeva, Vishnu, and Brahma. In a similar sense, these three find their densest objectivity in the three physical ethers. The lower four manifest during evolution, but are eventually synthesized into the higher three. Page 314. It should be also remembered that on all the seven subplanes of a solar plane, a process in connection with electrical phenomena in etheric matter will parallel all the processes on the major planes. This is easily to be seen on the mental plane, for instance, in connection with man. Theoretically, the absorption of all faculty by the causal body and the discontinuance of all enforced objectivity in the three worlds at the close of the synthesizing period is conceded. On the other planes, it is not so obvious. On the Buddhic plane, the builders on the evolutionary arc, or a large part of the Deva evolution, undergo a paralleling synthesis. On the physical plane, a mysterious synthesis is in connection with the spirit of the earth is undergone, and the first three ethers are related to him in a way as yet little understood. We might sum it up thus. First, the balancing of electrical phenomena, or the achievement of synthesis in connection with man, transpires on the three higher levels of the mental plane. Second, a similar process in connection with a heavenly man transpires on the three higher subplanes of the monadic plane. Viewed in a larger sense, it takes place on the three major planes, the atmic, buddhic, and manasic. Just as in the three worlds of human evolution, the physical, astral, and mental, the synthesizing process proceeds on the higher of the three involved. Third, in connection with the solar logos, within the system and not considering his cosmic synthesis, the three higher subplanes of the logoic plane see his final absorption or abstraction, and the three planes of the three logoi are similarly concerned. It should here be carefully borne in mind that we are dealing with electrical matter and are therefore concerned with cosmic etheric substance. All matter in the system is necessarily etheric. We are consequently dealing literally with physical phenomena on all planes of the system. Page 315. In time and space, we are concerned with units of different polarity, which, during the evolutionary process, seek union, balance, equilibrium, or synthesis, and eventually find it. This electrical interplay between two units causes that which we call light, and thereby objectivity. During evolution, this demonstrates as heat and magnetic interaction, and is the source of all vital growth. At the achievement of the desired goal, at union or at one-ment, two things occur. First, the approximation of the two poles, or their blending, causes a blazing forth, or radiant light. Second, obscuration, or the final disintegration of matter, owing to intense heat. This can be seen in connection with man, a heavenly man, and a solar logos, and their bodies of objectivity. In man, this polarity is achieved. The three different types of electrical phenomena are demonstrated, and the light blazes forth, irradiating the causal body and lighting up the entire sutratma, or thread, literally the path, which connects the causal vehicle with the physical brain. Then disintegration or destruction ensues. The causal body vanishes in a blaze of electrical fire, and the real man, or self, is abstracted from the three world bodies. So will it be seen in the body of a heavenly man, a planetary scheme, and so likewise in the body of the Logos, a solar system. The difficulty in apprehending these thoughts is great, for we are necessarily handicapped by lack of adequate terms, but the main ideas only are those I seek to deal with, and the one we are primarily concerned with in this division is the electrical manifestation of magnetism. Just as earlier we dealt cursorily with the same electrical phenomena manifesting as the activity of matter. Therefore you have 1. Activity, electrical manifestation of matter. 2. Magnetism, electrical manifestation of form. 3. Vitality, electrical manifestation of existence. Page 316. This is literally, as pointed out by H.P.B., fire by friction, solar fire, and electric fire. Fire by friction is electricity animating the atoms of matter, or the substance of the solar system, and resulting in the spheroidal form of all manifestation, the innate heat of all spheres, differentiation of all atoms one from another. Solar fire is electricity animating forms or congeries of atoms, and resulting in coherent groups, the radiation from all groups or the magnetic interaction of these groups, the synthesis of form. Electric fire is electricity demonstrating as vitality or the will to be of some entity, and manifests as abstract being, darkness, unity. We have seen that electrical manifestation on the first plane caused initial vibration, and on the second its activity resulted in the archetypal form of all manifestation from a god to man and an atom. On the third plane, which is primarily the plane of Brahma, this electrical force showed itself in intelligent purpose. The will to be and the form desired are correlated by intelligent purpose underlying all. This intelligent purpose, or active will, utilizing an instrument, brings us to that most difficult of metaphysical problems, the distinction between will and desire. It is not possible here to handle this delicate subject, save simply to point out that in both will and desire, intelligence or manas is a fundamental factor and must be recognized. This permeating principle of manas, coloring as it does both the will aspect and the desire aspect, is the cause of much confusion to students, and clarity of thought will eventuate only as it is realized, first, that all manifestation emanates or is electrified from the cosmic mental plane. Second, that the universal mind or the divine thinker is the intelligent principle which makes itself known as the will to be, desire or love of being, and that active intelligent purpose which animates the solar system. Third, that Mahadeva, or the divine will, Vishnu, the wisdom aspect, or the manifested son of necessity, and Brahma, or active purpose, are the sum total of intelligent consciousness and are, to the manifesting cosmic entity, what the mental body, the desire body, and the physical body are to man, the thinker in the three worlds, functioning in the causal body. We must not forget that the causal body contains the three permanent atoms, or the three spheres, which embody the principle of intelligence, of desire, and of physical objectivity. Always must the analogy be held between the threefold logos and threefold man, and definiteness of thought and of concept results when the one likeness between these is pondered on. Man is a unit, functioning as a unit in the causal body. He is a triplicity, functioning under the will aspect or mental body, under the desire or wisdom aspect, the astral body, and under the activity aspect, the physical body. He electrifies or vitalizes all three bodies or aspects, unifying them into one and bringing about, by means of the intelligence he is, coherency of action, simultaneity of purpose, and synthetic endeavor. Page 318. Finally, therefore, it is apparent that no matter from what angle we study, the threefold logos, or his reflection, the microcosm, through the manasic principle, intelligently reduces matter to form and utilizes that form for the fulfillment of the will, desire, and purpose of the indwelling existence. This principle can be seen underlying all three aspects. There is no need here to point out the different triplicities which can be built up on the basic idea of spirit and matter linked by intelligence. This has often been done. I but seek to emphasize that intelligence is the main quality of the logos, that it shows as will, as desire or wisdom, and as activity, and that the reason for this is due to the work earlier accomplished by the cosmic entity involving cycles which have passed into the dim mist of retrospect, even from the angle of vision of a solar logos. This developed manasic principle is the intelligent purpose that is bringing about at-one-ment on each plane of the solar system in connection with the subplanes. It will eventually bring about the synthesis of all the planes, and thus bring the cosmic physical plane as a unified whole under the complete control of that cosmic entity who is seeking expression through that threefold manifestation we call a solar system, or the body logoic. On this third plane, that intelligent principle demonstrates as coherent activity, either systemic, planetary, or monadic, and also as the triple vibration of spirit, matter, intelligence, sounding as a threefold sacred word or electricity manifesting as sound. We have here an interesting sequence or inversion, according to the angle of vision, involving the planes as we know them. Electricity as vibratory impulse. This causes the aggregation of matter and its activity within certain bounds, or its awakening to activity within the solar ring pass knot. This is the first syllable of the sacred word. Page 319. Electricity as light, causing spheroidal objectivity. This is the birth of the sun. It covers the enunciation of the second syllable of the sacred word. Electricity as sound. Here we have the completed threefold sacred word. Footnote. Through perfectly concentrated meditation on the light in the head comes the vision of the masters who have attained. The tradition is that there is a certain center of force in the head, perhaps the pineal gland, which some of our Western philosophers have supposed to be the dwelling of the soul, a center which is, as it were, the doorway between the natural and the spiritual man. It is the seat of that better and wiser consciousness behind the outward-looking consciousness in the forward part of the head, that better and wiser consciousness of the back of the mind, which views spiritual things and seeks to impress the spiritual view on the outward-looking consciousness in the forward part of the head. It is the spiritual man seeking to guide the natural man, seeking to bring the natural man to concern himself with the things of his immortality. This is suggested in the words of the Upanishad already quoted. There where the dividing of the hair turns, extending upward to the crown of the head, all of which may sound very fantastical until one comes to understand it. It is said that when this power is fully awakened, it brings a vision of the great companions of the spiritual man, those who have already attained, crossing over to the further shore of the sea of death and rebirth. Perhaps it is to this divine sight that the Master alluded, who is reported to have said, "I counsel you to buy of me eye salve that you may see." From the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, Book 3, verse 32. C. Johnson's edition. Return to text. On the fourth plane, this electrical force shows itself as color. In these four, we have the fundamental concepts of all manifestation. All four have an electrical dynamic origin. All are basically a differentiation or effect of impulse emanating from the cosmic mental plane and taking form, with intelligent purpose in view, on the cosmic physical. Man repeats the process on his tiny scale, dealing only with three planes and flashing into objectivity on the solar physical. It will be demonstrated later, as science attains more and more of the truth, that 1. All physical phenomena, as we understand the term, have an electrical origin and an initial vibration on the first subplane of the physical plane. 2. That light, physical plane light, has a close connection with and uses as a medium the second ether. 3. That sound functions through the third ether. 4. That color, in a peculiar sense, is allied to the fourth ether. Page 320. We must note here that in the development of the senses, hearing preceded sight, as sound precedes color. An interesting analogy may here be noted between the fourth cosmic ether and the fourth ether on the physical plane of the solar system. Both are in process of becoming exoteric, one from the standpoint of man in the three worlds, and the other from the standpoint of a heavenly man. The fourth ether is even now being investigated by scientists, and much that they predicate concerning ether, the atom, radium, and the ultimate protyle has to do with this fourth ether. It will eventually be brought under scientific formula, and some of its properties, knowledge concerning its range of influence, and its utilization will become known unto men. Paralleling this, the Buddhic plane, the plane of the Christ principle, is gradually becoming known to those advanced beings who are individually able to cognize their place in the body of a logos of a planetary scheme. The influence of the Buddhic plane and the electrical force that is its peculiar characteristic are beginning to be felt, and its energy is also beginning to have a definite effect on the egoic bodies of men. The fourth ether of the physical systemic plane is likewise assuming its rightful place in the minds of men, and the electrical force of that subplane is already being adapted and utilized by man in the assistance of the mechanical arts, for methods of transportation, for widespread illumination, and in healing. These four adaptations of electricity, 1. For mechanical uses, 2. For transportation, 3. For illumination, 4. In healing, are but the working out on the physical plane of paralleling utilization of Buddhic electrical force. Page 321. It might here be asked why color primarily is spoken of as the Buddhic manifestation of electricity. We are employing the word color here in its original and basic sense as that which veils. Color veils the sevenfold differentiation of logoic manifestation, and from the angle of vision of man in the three worlds, can be seen only in its full significance on the Buddhic plane. All fire and electrical display will be seen to embody the seven colors. Again, another correspondence between the fourth cosmic ether and the fourth physical ether lies in the fact that they are both primarily concerned with the work of the great builders, bearing in mind that they build the real body of the logos in etheric matter. The dense physical vehicle is not so much the result of their work as it is the result of the meeting of the seven streams of force or electricity, which causes that apparent congestion in matter that we call the dense physical planes, the three lower subplanes. This apparent congestion is, after all, but the exceeding electronic activity or energy of the mass of negative atoms awaiting the stimulation that will result from the presence of a certain number of positive atoms. This needs to be borne in mind. The work of evolution is based on two methods and demonstrates as involution, wherein the negative electrons of matter preponderate, the percentage of these feminine electrons is one of the secrets of initiation, and is so vast during the involutionary stage that the rarity of the positive atoms is very noticeable. They are so rare as only to serve to keep the mass coherent. Page 322. Evolution, wherein, due to the action of Manas, these negative atoms become stimulated and either dissipate back into the central electrical reservoir or merge in their opposite pole and are consequently again lost. This results in synthesis, homogeneity, the rarity instead of the density of matter. The fourth cosmic ether, the buddhic, is the plane of air and is also the plane of absorption for the three worlds. This rarefication of dense matter, as we know it, simply means that at the close of the evolutionary process, it will have been transmuted and be practically, from our point of view, non-existent. All that will be left will be the positive atoms, or certain vortices of force, which, having absorbed the negative, will demonstrate as electrical phenomena of a form inconceivable to man at his present stage of knowledge. These vortices will be distinguished by 1. Intense vibratory activity. 2. The predominance of one certain color according to the quality of the etheric display and its source. 3. Repulsion to all bodies of similar vibratory rate and polarity. Their attractive quality at the end of evolution will cease owing to the fact that naught remains to be attracted. The vortices in each planetary scheme will be, during evolution, 7. Later, during the period of obscuration, 3 of the vortices will approximate their masculine pole and eventually but one will be left. In man, a similar procedure can be seen in connection with his 7 centers during the process of initiation. Page 323. First, there are 7, then 3 absorb the lower 4 through electrical interaction. We are here viewing the subject wholly from the point of view of our present discussion. Finally, only the head center is left, for it is the positive pole to all the others. This question of the electrical polarity of the centers is one of real difficulty, and little can be communicated on the matter. It may be safely pointed out, however, that the generative organs are the negative pole to the throat center, as is the solar plexus to the heart. The order of the development of the centers, the ray type and color, coupled to the fact that during certain stages of the evolutionary process, different centers, such as the base of the spine, are positive to all the others, not even excluding the head center, leads to the vast complexity of the subject. Likewise, certain of the planetary schemes are positive and others negative. 3 of the schemes are dual, both negative and positive. The same can be predicated anent a solar system and, curiously enough, anent the planes themselves. For instance, in connection with the Earth scheme, we have a positive polarity of a temporary nature based on the type of incarnation our particular heavenly man is undergoing on our planet. By this is meant that there are masculine and feminine incarnations undergone by heavenly men as by men, considering the entire subject from the angle of electrical polarity and not from sex as understood in connection with the physical body. Venus is negatively polarized, and hence it became possible for a mysterious absorption by the Earth of Venusian force. Again, in this connection, the question of sex may serve to elucidate. The karmic tie between the two heavenly men, one in a positive incarnation and the other in a negative, caused the working out of an old debt and a planetary alliance. Light flashed forth in Lemurian days in a number of great groups of the human family when these two opposite poles made electrical connection. It needed the joint work of the two heavenly men working on buddhic levels, the fourth cosmic ether, to bring about the blazing forth of the light of Manas in the causal groups on the fifth cosmic gaseous plane, the mental plane of the solar system. It will be remembered that it was earlier pointed out that the majority of men function consciously on the fifth subplane of the three planes in the three worlds. In them, the fifth principle is beginning to function, but not in sufficient force as yet to do more than keep them in line with the electrical force flowing from the fourth cosmic ether down to the next subplane of the cosmic physical. It must ever be borne in mind that each plane and each subplane, which is numerically allied, is embodying the same type of force and is consequently of the same polarity. Again, the astral plane and the buddhic plane are related, as we already know. The astral is negative in relation to the buddhic plane. When the polarity of the different planes is known, when the polarity of the subplanes is comprehended, and when the interaction between them and the corresponding cosmic planes is grasped, then will man be free, but not before. When the polarity of the ethers to each other and their relationship to the whole is comprehended, human evolution will have run its course. A master has solved the problem of electrical phenomena in the three worlds, hence his freedom. Further, when the relationship of the negative form to the positive spirit is grasped, and their joint connection with the cosmic entities who indwell the whole system is somewhat apprehended, group liberation will be achieved. Perhaps in considering this abstruse matter, it may help to clarify the point of view if it is recollected that man is essentially positive in his own nature, but his vehicles are negative. Hence, he is the central unit of positive electricity that draws and holds to him atoms of an opposite polarity. Page 325. When he has merged and blended the two poles and produced light of a definite magnitude during any particular incarnation, which magnitude is settled by the ego prior to incarnation, then obscuration takes place. The electrical manifestation burns up and destroys the medium, and the light goes out. What we call physical death ensues, for the electrical current burns up that which had caused objectivity and that which shone. Let us carry this idea further and realize that these units called men, who are positive as regards their own vehicles, are but the negative cells in the body of a heavenly man and are held within his sphere of influence by the force of his electrical life. Bear in mind again that the heavenly men are thus positive as regards the lesser lives, but in their turn are negative as regards the greater life that contains them. Here again is demonstrated the truth of the teaching given by H.P.B. Electric fire, positive, spirit. Fire by friction, negative, matter. Solar fire, light, the two blended and thus producing the objective blaze. We have thus considered the question of the electrical origin of all manifestation in connection with the four higher subplanes of the solar system, those four planes which are the four cosmic ethers and therefore form the body of objectivity of a heavenly man in exactly the same sense as the four physical ethers of the solar system form the etheric body of a man. I have here repeated the fact, as its importance has not yet been grasped by the average occult student. This fact, when conceded and realized, serves in a wonderful way to clarify the whole subject of planetary evolution. Page 326. We have now reached the three planes wherein man functions, or the gaseous, liquid, and dense subplanes of the cosmic physical. The whole subject of the Akasha will be greatly clarified as exoteric science delves into the question of the ethers. As knowledge of the four types of ethers is available, as the vibratory action of these ethers is realized, and as the details concerning their composition, utilization, light-bearing capacity, and the various angles from which they may be studied become known, then paralleling knowledge anent the corresponding four cosmic ethers will be forthcoming. Much concerning them may be deduced from the already apprehended facts which relate to the four solar physical ethers. For instance, the fourth ether, which is even now being what we might call discovered, is at this stage characterized by certain things. I might enumerate a few of these facts with exceeding brevity as follows. A. It is the ether which the violet ray uses as a medium. B. The fourth ether is that whereof the majority of the etheric bodies of men are made. C. The fourth ether is largely the principal sphere of influence of the devas of the shadows, or those violet devas which are closely concerned with the physical evolution of man. D. It is the etheric sphere within which, at a little later date, the human and the deva evolutions will touch. E. From this fourth etheric sphere, the dense physical bodies are created. F. It is the sphere of physical individualization. Only when the animal to be individualized was fully conscious on that subplane of the physical plane was it possible to coordinate the corresponding spheres on the astral and mental planes, and by means of this triple coordination to effect the necessary steps which enabled the quaternary to succeed in its effort to approximate the triad. Page 327. G. This fourth ether in this fourth round and on this fourth chain has to be completely mastered and controlled by the human hierarchy, the fourth creative. Every unit of the human family has to attain this mastery before the end of this round. End of side 2, cassette number 7, Atreides on Cosmic Fire, page 327. Continued on cassette number 8.